called Personal Spiritual Formation back in college. It was a crazy class. And I shared last week with my Sunday school, and I want to share with you guys some of the things that we did for that class. So it was about kind of connecting with who you are and who God made you to be. It was a powerful class. It was fantastic. But they made us go on this trip to a monastery to, like, as a retreat, to try to, like, solidify some of the teachings they were doing. And so they had all this activities for everybody to do. So they were very powerful experiences. So the one person, there was, like, you know, there's one of these, like, spiral steps in this old monastery, right? And so they had this young man write down a lie that has ever been spoken of him ever, like what Satan would say to him, or how what people have said that were not true, that he's a failure, that he's a nobody, that he's worthless. He had to write every single one, on every single step. There was, like, I don't know, 25 steps. So he had to write all these lies about himself, and then he had to go through with a mop and bucket and erase every single one and pray over every step. It took him all day. So, that was just one example. For Matt York, they put me in the woods by myself. That's what they did. They said, you talk too much, Matt, so you gotta go out to the woods. I'm like, I'd be quiet. I hate being quiet. Oh, it's awful. I hate it. So anyway, it was a good experience, I guess, but it was like, oh my God, I'll write the steps. That sounds awesome. Put me in the woods. They gave me a journal and a Bible. They said, have fun. I was like, oh. So I'm out with, like, the squirrels looking like Francis of Assisi. Anyway. Oh my gosh. Right? With the gorillas, right? Oh my gosh. But we come from a do culture, right? Many of you, if I were told you to sit still for a little while, many of you probably would not be good at it. Right? I know some of you, Jason Trago, who just does not sit still well, right? But if you're, I know, look at you right now. I know you. We come from a do, right? When you get introduced to people, one of the first questions you ask is, oh, what? What do you do? Right? That's how we,
right? And by the way, I'm still having a hard time thinking a professional gamer is a real career, okay? I'm still having a hard time with that one. I'm a professional gamer. I'm like, what do you do, man? Anyway, we do, right? We have to do, right? And we do. And we have a hard time just being still, slowing down, doing nothing, just being present. We're horrible at it because we want to do. We have to do. I always have to be doing. In fact, I have a lot of Amish friends because we live in Honeybrook, and they ask, well, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a pastor. And they're like, what do you do during the week? And I'm like, my people want to know the same exact thing, right? They want to know, what do you fill your week with, right? And I'm like, well, I'm kind of like a counselor some days, and other days I'm like a ringmaster. Like, it's kind of hard to explain, right? So, but they want to know, like, what do you do? And we have a hard time being still. That's why, as we head into the new year, many of you, when you start a new year, as we look ahead, many of you, there's probably so much on the horizon that you have to get done, that you want to get done, or you're not doing. And guess what? As you look out over the horizon, it gives you a level of panic attack. And there's a verse that God speaks of us, that we are called to slow down, to be still, and know. We're going to be here for the next couple of weeks, slowing down. And I'm going to do my best to actually slow down my presentation, to slow down my articulation. I have to learn this too. And just so you know, God has a huge sense of humor because I did not live this out this week. I had a horrible week. And to be still and to know is, for me, still hard to grasp. And so, well, let's go on this journey together as what the Lord has blessed me with and what I believe he wants to bless you with as we take a look at, over the next couple of weeks, what God desires for us to be still and know. So open your Bible if you have one, to Psalm 46. That's where we're going to be. Psalm 46. You may have heard the words be still and know, or maybe somebody has said those words to you when you've been all frazzled. Be still and know. Be still and know. Well, it comes from a psalm. Let's get into that psalm. Psalm 46. Starting in verse 1, it says this. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away, and the mountains fall into though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord God Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." So as we look at this psalm, there are some things in here I want you to take a look at. As the author opens up, it talks about all these horrible things. Though the earth give away, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, the mountains quake, the waters foam. Does anybody remember the disaster movies of the 1970s? Like The Towering Inferno, or like, maybe some of you don't. Okay. The disaster movies of the 90s? Remember that? Armageddon? Remember that one? That one gave me nightmares for weeks. Right? Twister? Remember that movie? Remember Twister? There was a tornado coming into Pennsylvania every week, in my opinion. I was ruined from that movie. Volcano? That movie just like, oh, volcanoes now pop out of the middle of the street. Like, okay, this is what happens now. Like, he almost describes like nightmare scenario, right? Mountains fall into the heart of sea. They quake with their surging. Pretty much is what they're saying is there's always something to be afraid of. Always. There's always something to panic about. I'm still waiting on remember the killer bees of the 80s? Am I the only person? Right? That was a thing. Did anybody else think they were going to get killed when they walked outside their house? Right? Quicksand. Not as dangerous as I thought it was going to be growing up. I thought it was going to be a real thing. Right? Some of you remember the Cold War. Remember, anybody here had to hide under their desk? Did, like, nuclear drills and all that kind of stuff? Anybody had to do that stuff? No? Okay. Like, 13 days in November, some of you lived in the 60s. Like it was a real thing. Like, there's always something to be, and now, like, we look ahead, oh, my gosh, rising home costs. Are my kids going to be able to afford a house? Like, that's a real thing. Oh, my gosh. Like, the list goes on and on and on. There is always something to be afraid of. Always. If you look for it, you will find it. And honestly, some of us don't even have to look very hard because some of us already know. Like, I'm already 10 steps ahead of you, Matt. I'm already afraid of the thing I don't even know yet that I'm supposed to be afraid of. I got a whole list of things to be afraid of, and there's a whole bucket that I don't even know of yet that I'm supposed to be afraid of because I just don't know. What do we do with it? Because this verse tells us that we're supposed to be still and know. Like, mountains are falling into the sea, the earth is giving away. Like, this is even worse than some of those disaster movies and some of your biggest fears. What do they say to us? Well, take a look. What the author here is saying, notice the therefore. You know what therefores are there for? You have to see what it's what. Therefore. How this works. So he draws a connection between the first and the second sentence here. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. There is always a reason to be afraid. I'm just telling you right now. Always. Whether God meets you in whatever, like, whatever is in the back of your head and that God makes that go away, you will always find something new to be afraid of. There's a never-ending list of things to be afraid of. You're never going to outsmart that list in the back of your head because you'll always find something new. The author here says there is always something bigger. There's always a bigger reason to be still in times of crisis, in times of anxiety, in times of trouble. There's always a reason to be afraid, but there's always a bigger reason to be still. Because of who God is, therefore we will not be afraid. If, look, the reason is, these things are happening, and we're not going to cower. We're not going to be afraid. I'm going to stick my feet, I'm going to plant my feet in the truth of who God is. And that's what that therefore is. Therefore. As we look at the top here, it says Psalm 46. And it's going to say like a song from the sons of Korah. Do you see that? Some of you have your Bible on it. I didn't put it in there. The sons of Korah. I don't know if you know this or not, but like that family line isn't the best family line. If you go to if you go to like Numbers 26, they actually like rebelled against Moses. The earth and swallowed them. You can look it up in Numbers 26. It says the sons of Korah rebelled against Moses, and the earth opened. By the way, the earth gave way. This is like a distant relative of that family, and they're like, that was actually a moment where we actually got our stuff together. Like God had actually used a moment where the earth actually swallowed the family of Korah and left some remaining descendants to actually bring about something good in the lives. They went on to become gatekeepers in the temple. They went on to become poets and musicians to sing these wonderful praises of the Lord. So even that moment actually brought a good thing to the family. Anyway, back to my PSF retreat. So here I was sitting in the woods, right, just thinking of everything that I could possibly think of, right? And so finally, I finally acknowledged. I'm like, oh, because I wanted to be somewhere else. I wanted to be doing. I wanted to make this go away. And finally, I couldn't do it, and I just had to accept that I was here to be in this place for this moment. And then God speaks. Like all of a sudden, I calm down and I begin to listen. I become to be still. And God speaks in the stillness. See, so often I think we want God to speak in the chaotic, in the craziness. While he can do that, he hovers over the chaos. But one thing that I think that we need to be better at doing is being still in times of trouble, to rest. And so here I am in the woods, right? And I started like journaling. I started writing down, like, wow, God is here. He's present. He's made all this beautiful creation. He's made me. You know, and I went a little deeper then. I began to write in this journal. And actually, they're like, so how was it? I'm like, it was good. And so I finally disciplined myself to be still. But it's not a discipline that we do every day. And so as we look ahead, as we look to what God wants for us, we have to be knowing, people that know that he is our ever-present help in times of trouble. What that means is that he's very near in a tight spot. If you want to know the Hebrew understanding, he's always there in a tight spot. When you're in a tight spot, God's always there. And that's why he said you should be still and know. In other words, there will always be a bigger reason for you to be still. So I don't know what's on the horizon for you. I don't know what your week looked like. Mine, I swore at a truck driver this week. I became unhinged in Morgantown. There is probably going to be a video, but I have to come out and say it because I'm probably on a truck cam. So if you are cycling through YouTube and it's like, well, local pastor, explicit of riddle, like there was a lot going on that day. And I just became unhinged. And I'm like, now I have to preach this sermon on being still. Great. And so what God wants us to do is to be people that when there's always more piling on, there's always a bigger reason to actually rest in who he is and what he wants us to do. And so I'm learning this, and I'm walking through it with you, and I hope that we go there together as we see what God wants to do, and we have to be reminded of some things, of who God is and how he wants to meet us in our worst days, in our days that are just unhinged. So pray for your pastor, number one. Number one. Number two, let's rest in who God is and be reminded of his great mercy and his ever-present ability to be near in times of trouble. Let's pray, and we'll get into our points. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would, Lord, sanctify me, sanctify this day, sanctify our lives. Set him apart, that's what the word means. holy, to be encouraging, and to be used of and by you in some of the most amazing of situations. And so that no matter what is going on, we will find you in the still, that we can be present with you as you want us to slow down and know. So Lord, guide and lead us in this truth. Be our ever-present help in times of trouble. The very near God when we're in a tight spot. Let us reach out and find you. Let us stop trying to do and just rest. Be, as countercultural as it might be, is what we're called to do by you. To be still and know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let's keep going through here. So the first thing I want to take a look at is he's ever present with us. Some of the things that many people think that why they wrote this psalm, the sons of wrote this, is that the Assyrian army was closing in on the Israelites, and then all of a sudden the author begins to write these words about how there's all this mighty fortress, right? There's a place of shelter. There's a place of calm, of respite. Have you guys ever been, like, out when there's, like, a storm coming? Have you ever been there? Like you didn't plan your day very well, and all of a sudden there's, like, maybe it's a sudden storm and it's coming in on you. Have you ever, I was on a golf course one time, and I was playing golf, and the sky turned that green color. Have you ever seen that? Right, the sky turned, that only means one thing, by the way. Like there's only one reason why the sky turns green, and that's like Tornado Central, right? Remember, all you want to do is get out and get in somewhere that's safe. Like, that's what the desire is, right? If you ever, like, everything in your body, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but if you've ever been caught in a storm, like, your body actually desires to be safe and secure. It's a longing of your body, so you begin to seek shelter. Everything in you wants to find a car, an alleyway, a cave, whatever. Like, there's been a couple times when, you know, you're in situations that, like, you all of a sudden you get real close to people, like in, like, a bus shelter or, like, in a department store, and everybody's, like, kind of waiting there, and you're next to people you probably never would be next to in your life. You're like, so I'm just avoiding the rain, or I'm here, right? It's what we do. We desire safety and shelter. And God, this is as the Israelites looked to God, this is what they saw in him. They wanted this security from him. That's why it says, be still and know, for he is our fortress, our place that we run to in times of distress and trouble. Everything in we are should be running towards him, not away from him, to have a sense of stillness and calm. One of the best illustrations of this, honestly, comes from Jesus. I will never understand this passage, but I long to understand it more deeply. This is from Matthew. A very bad wind came up on the lake, and the waves were coming over the sides and into the boat, and it was almost full of water. Like, I will never get this. And what is Jesus doing? He's sleeping. He's snoozing. By the way, ladies, can you just imagine if you're on a boat and your husband's just sleeping? Like, can you just imagine? By the way, does anybody have that, like, spouse that is just way too cool in the worst of situations? I don't know. There's been, like I just know Tab's dad. He's always way too cool in the most stressful situations. Like, you should be panicking right now. And they don't. Like, they just calm, cool, and collected at the worst of times. So, like, no, you're supposed to make me feel better because I'm freaking out. But they're just cool, calm, and collected. Look at Jesus. He's sleeping with his head on a pillow, and the fathers went and woke him and said, teacher, don't you care? We're going to drown! There's just, like, chaotic. There's the waves, the winds are rolling. There's water in the boat, right? And Jesus is there just snoozing. Why? Why? He's not freaking out because he's secure. And that secure comes from one place. It's knowing. He knows. There's this connection with the Father that he is ever present. He's always there in tight spots. Jesus able to rest. This isn't where I'm going to die. I know exactly. Stop. Stop. He actually rebukes. He stops the winds and the waves. He brings order into chaos. And he looks at his disciples and says, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You have little faith. Ever present. So either he is or he isn't.
And our actions should actually begin to invoke stillness and chaos. That's what we're called to do. Don't look at me like that, Tab. Don't look at me like that. Right? She's going to make him face. Thanks, Tab. Gosh, she knows I needed this sermon. Jesus, ever present, knows God. Knows God is there. So anyway, the first thing that we need to understand is God is not distant and far away. He's actually a lot closer than you think. But I don't know if you knew this, but I just preached a sermon series on that. He's with you. He's with you. He's closer than you think in times of distress and trouble. The thing that happens is once we start freaking out, we pull away. When things got bad, Jesus got close. That's how this works. And that's our reaction too. Be still and know. Be still and know. Number two. Internal stillness in external chaos. That's what we're called to have. An internal stillness during external chaos. Look. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the sword, fires the spear, and burns the shields with fire. So as the author is writing, he talks about all these things. Wars. He talks about the earth melting. He talks about all these things that could cause stress, that cause anxiety. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but did you know, maybe you probably do. Like, stress is actually bad for your physical body. Did you know that? So see, like, think about it. If you're always tense, your muscles actually don't work as well because they're always in a state of like lockedness. Right? Butterflies in your stomach, if you always get, actually causes GI issues if you don't deal with that. Like, stress is bad for your heart, like your cardio, your heart's not like going at the right, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but when you have a stressful situation, your veins actually carry more blood to your heart, your veins dilate, right? And your blood pressure, that's how your blood pressure goes up. Right, this is how this works, because you're so stressed out all the time. We allow the external to affect us internally all the time. This happens all the time. And some of it's involuntary. Sometimes you're just gonna react, so you have a fight or fight response, right? You're either gonna run away from something or you're gonna fight, right? But there are things that we just react to immediately. We go, we charge up, and actually it's not good for us. We allow so much out here to affect us both physically and spiritually. There's so much of the external affects the internal. And we're called to do what? Because God says, be still and know. Be still and know. Like, I would love for my internal to affect the external. Like, where I'm at would actually affect the people around me. To be in a different place, to bring a sense of calm to disorder, or when things are going craziness, to be the voice of reason, because you're so in tune with what God is doing, and you're knowing, you just know what He is, and what He wants, and what He desires for us. God, look, notice who's the one saying this. God Himself says, be still and know. And we're going to see this over the next couple of weeks. There are so many opportunities that God does this. He speaks to Elijah, right, when he's freaking out. That's where we're going to be next week. We're going to be in 1 Kings 19. We're looking at Elijah in that cave, on the run, being the only prophet left, and he finds God.
Be still and know. I want us to be people to bring about this internal peace to external chaos. That's my desire. Internal peace to external chaos. God wants it for you. And it starts here. Be still and know. Speaking of which, let's get into that last point. The stillness comes from the knowing. That's our last point. Be still and know. The earth is melting. There's all this going on. It's chaotic. And in the stillness, he says, be still and know. Being still, hard enough. The knowing, you have to understand something from Hebrew culture to understand this. I talked about this before. The word to know in Hebrew actually invokes a level of intimacy. the word yada is actually like to know. By the way, if you know the Bible, it says Adam knew his wife and she conceived a child. Just so you know how closely connected that word is. To know means a level of intimacy. Like, you know, the only way that we would see, you know, you would be like, hey, does he know her? And be like, oh, he knows her all.
Like, we do this, like, this is how we talk sometimes. Oh, they know each other. And most honestly, you would actually say, I remember Tab and I were at a Sheetz one time and we got this cup of coffee. And Tab wanted me to go in and get her order for the coffee. And this lady, I mean, she just made it absolutely wrong. Like, it was all milk and not enough coffee. And I'm like, oh, that's not going to fly. She goes, how do you know? She hasn't tried it yet. I'm like, I know my wife. Like, I know. Like, I know what my wife's coffee looks like. It's not going to work. She goes, well, she should try it. I'm like, who are you? Like, you know, can you just go make another cup of coffee? Like, it was not working. But I love how she tried to tell me how I knew my wife. I'm like, I know her. Like, I know everything about her. And so the word know in Hebrew, it invokes a level of intimacy. And God, believe it or not, wants a level of intimacy with you. I probably lost every single... Like, women, like, they eat this stuff up. Guys, like, I'm checking out right now. Like, this is not what I want, man. Right? But this is what, like... The idea of intimacy with God is that God just, that we are meant to know Him, to be present in Him, that He knows us fully, that we are fully exposed before Him, and that He knows everything about us. And when we find that place with Him, there's this peace that comes. Be still and know. Know who I am. Know what I've done. Know what I'm going to do. Know what I say. And bring that into whatever situation you're going through and find a stillness there, to find a peace and a calm. You see, I wish I would have known about this when it came to killer bees back in the 80s. It would have made my life so much easier. Oh, I'm going to be still and know. I lost all those nights thinking about killer bees. Be still and know. You see, your reaction and how things are going on around you sometimes will be indicative of how well you know God. If I'm freaking out and I have the, then I'm forgetting. I'm not holding on to. I'm not resting in. Like, there are certain things that I know. Your actions dictate what you know. Right? I know this chair is going to hold my weight. I know it. Right? Have I done it yet? No. Could this chair possibly be broken? Yeah, possibly. But in my head, I know that this chair is going to hold my weight. But I know it. So I can sit down and be like, oh. But I don't have to, See, I know what it's going to do. Therefore, my actions indicate what I know. And the same is true about God. When stressful situations come, do we truly know that God has our best interests in mind? Do we truly live out the principles? Do our actions reflect what we know? Well, they probably do. Because if you're freaking out, then there's a good chance that we're not living out what God has told us to be still in. And so my question for all of us here, including myself, is what would our actions be if we truly knew? Right? If we truly knew who this God is. And that's what I want for us over the next couple of weeks. We're going to look at some of the individuals who freaked out and God comes to them in the worst moments. Especially Elijah next week. Because guess what? You're going to have a reason to freak out over something this week. You're going to have a chance to maybe be like your pastor, go unhinged or something. Like, you're going to have a chance to do this. Right? And my challenge to us is there's always a bigger reason to be still. Always.
God has proven His love for you. God has proven your worth. And that's what we're going to celebrate here at communion in just a moment. That we have an opportunity to live this out and to rest in this and to know this today. We're going to celebrate one of the defining moments in Jesus' life, and that's the cross. Where He put it all on the line for us, physically, so that we could be lifted up spiritually forever with Him, eternally. And so, as we get a chance to celebrate this with communion, I ask that you would join us in maybe allowing our actions to not be ones of panic, to be ones of still today.